open our hearts and lives to you. We pray you'd speak to us through your word. We ask you bless pastor as he comes now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, praise team. Have a seat, please. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. You know, we're privileged to support three missionaries in the Philippine Islands. And they are doing a great work. And we don't support the Lions, but they sent a letter to me. I'm familiar with them. They're part of our fellowship of churches. And they work in conjunction with the missionaries we do support in the Philippines. And I just wanted to give you an encouraging report from their camp as you're turning to 1 Chronicles 4. They held 94 camps this past summer in the Philippines. And 24 public schools cooperated with the camp meetings and dismissed their senior grades to go to the camps in the public schools of the Philippine Islands. They had 118,028 total campers. 118,000 campers. They had everybody working to help with the camps. One of the camps had 1,255 young people. The average was 1,255 per camp. And at the Manila camp, they had 54,830 saved. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that wonderful? That's what your missionary dollars are accomplishing. I'd say that's a pretty good investment. Amen. Don't quit giving to missions. We need to keep our church a missionary-minded church, and that means giving out the gospel here at home, of course, but giving and praying and cooperating with our missionaries around the world. If you're familiar with 1 Chronicles 1, 2, 3, and 4, you know that it's a genealogy of several people. It just lists name after name after name after name. If you're reading through the Bible, you come to Chronicles, it's kind of tough to get through. But God stopped after 478 names, and he said, there's one person here I want to take note of. Now, many of these people, as he chronicles through the list, have other scriptures that deal with their lives. But it's like the Lord said, I want you to know that everybody's important to me. Everybody's important to me. There was nothing said about Jabez in any other place in all the Bible except right here. And it's also, I think, significant that God said, I want you to take note of this worthy life. And I want you to recognize that this man can be an example to men and women for all generations. If you'll follow him as he followed me, you will be greatly blessed. Now, I'd like you to stand with me together right now, and let's read in unison verses 9 and 10 of 1 Chronicles 4 as we think about the man Jabez. Let's read it together. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Have a seat, please, if you would. I want you to pay particular attention to the things that I have to say about the man Jabez. It's interesting to me that a couple of years ago I was going to preach on this text, and we had a day when we had so much snow that we had to cancel the service in the wintertime. And 3 weeks ago we had a storm called Irene, and we had to cancel the service, and guess what text I had ready for us to look at. So I don't think the devil wants us to look at this passage, but I believe the Lord does. And I also believe that in his providence there were a couple of things I needed to read and a couple of experiences I needed to have before I came with this text to give you this message. And God's got everything under control. He has his way in the whirlwind. He works everything together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. What do we learn from Jabez? I think, first of all, as we sang this morning in God's providence, we should learn that God wants us to soar like an eagle. Would you write that in your notes in the back of your bulletin there? Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. I looked up the word honorable. It means weighty. He was a significant influence. You ever hear the commercial a while back when E.F. Hutton speaks? Everyone listens, you know. I think Jabez was that kind of a man. None of his words fell to the ground like Samuel. He said something, it was meaningful. His life and influence was significant. And people around him would look to him and they would have a sense of the importance and the weightiness of his personality. He lived in dependence upon the Lord. His excellence was the result of following the Lord, not just publicly, but in private. He made sure he made his peace with God, and then he lived to make much of his Savior. That was what enabled him to rise above the common complacency and lukewarmness of his generation. There's tremendous comfort in dwelling upon the sufficiency of our great God and Savior. We always got to remember, He is our victory. Amen? He is our victory. You don't have to be strong. You just have to rely upon the strength of the Lord. Hold your finger here with me and go back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40 gives us, I think, some complimentary instruction as we think about soaring like an eagle. That familiar passage that you see oftentimes mounted on wall plaques, "They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles." But it starts off in chapter 40 about comfort in the knowledge that God has gotten us the victory. He's won the battle for our souls, and He's given us a great salvation. Amen? Look at chapter 40 in verse number 1 of Isaiah. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Now you become God's people when you get saved. Amen? You become His spiritual children when you have a spiritual birth. Jesus said, you must be born again. There's got to be a day and time in your life, a point in time in your life where you take knowledge about Christ and make it knowledge of a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. You've got to receive Christ as your personal Savior. And then you become God's people, God's child. Verse 2 says, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquities pardoned, for she's received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. There's so much value in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, He could pay for double for everybody's sins all at once. Amen? When He died on the cross, He said, it's finished. It's done. The great transaction is done. Our warfare is accomplished through the cross of Jesus Christ. And we ought to live to prepare others to receive Him. That's what He goes on to talk about. He talks about John the Baptist in verse 3. He says, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Make everything plain and clear and open and smooth to have people come to know Jesus Christ. And that's what we're about. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Look at verse 8. It says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Thank God that we can have confidence that though we're weak, though we're not significant in ourselves apart from the Lord, He loves us and He cares for us and He gives us significance in our relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. But look at verse 28. We've often looked at this passage, but I love it. Verse 28 says, hast thou not known, as you think about yourself in relationship to your God, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Read the next verse with me, would you? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Jabez, he was an eagle. Geese and ducks We see them all going south right now, don't we? They all flock together, but eagles soar. They fly, and they can stand alone. They can achieve heights that other birds don't, and they can see and have perspective below that others may not have. And God's saying we ought to be like the men and women of Ephraim that have understanding of the times to know what we ought to do. We ought to have the perspective that God will give us as we mount up with wings waiting upon Him and look at this world. Eagles are sometimes attacked by condors and vultures. The way they elude their attackers is interesting. What an eagle will do is he'll fly directly toward the sun. And he's got this film, this green film type thing that he can close over his eyes, and it can enable him to look toward the sun and it won't bother him. But the other birds can't do that, so they'll tail off and they'll leave in their attack or attempted attack. We ought to be like the eagle and fly toward the sun. S-O-N. Amen? Amen. And the closer we get to Him, the better we'll be, and we'll be safe in the Lord. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. Amen? Notice we should soar like an eagle. That's what Jabez teaches us. We should be drawing near to God like we were so ably reminded this morning in Sunday school. And then notice it says his mother called his name Jabez because I bear him with sorrow. Because I bear him with sorrow. I take from that we should interpret trials in our lives as essential. Interpret trials in your life as a believer as being essential. Now, Jabez means sorrowful or pain. So somehow in the mind of Jabez's mom, all that she associated his birth with was pain. Now, every woman has pain in childbirth. But something about Jabez made his mother associate him so entirely with pain that's what she called him. What a name for a kid. Sorrowful. Painful. What's your name? Oh, I'm just a pain. That's my name. But there's some association there. By the way, don't curse your kids by predicting bad about them. Don't say things like, you're no good, you're never going to turn out well, or I just don't have a good feeling about your life. You know, don't ever say things like that about your kids. Predict good for them. Amen? Bless them with your words. And if they do bad, say that's not like you. You should do different than that. I expect different from you. You're going to be a special person. You know, that kind of thing. Maybe she had a difficult pregnancy. Maybe there was family trouble. Maybe there was some secrets in their family. There was, I don't know, maybe there was some illness, mental problems. Maybe there was some unfaithfulness. Maybe her husband had left her. Maybe she was in a chronic disease or had a condition. Maybe she even died in childbearing, like Benjamin's mother. We don't know. But there was some kind of a loss, some kind of a bereavement, some kind of special pain, maybe abandonment. But whatever it was, that's what she associated with her son's birth. The Bible says man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward, right? So all of us have trouble, but for the Christian, for the believer, we can know that God uses our troubles. God uses our trials, and He never lets something come into our lives except He can cooperate together with that to make something good come out of it. All suffer, but God's children profit thereby. Pain and weighty character often go hand in hand. It's the often buffeted shoreline trees that can bear the brunt of a hurricane and still survive. But further inland, where they've not been accustomed to the buffeting, they'll collapse and fall. Remember the words of Jacob as he interpreted the trying circumstances that were overwhelming him when his son had been taken and all the other issues that surrounded their going into Egypt were happening. He said, all these things are against me. That was how he was thinking. He had this negative, overwhelming thought coming upon him. But really, God was working in all that. People were working against him. The devil was working against him. But God was working for his good, wasn't he? And that's what we need to remember as Christians. God is working through all of our trials and all of our difficulties. God's too kind to allow unnecessary suffering in your life, too wise to make a mistake, and too powerful to be separated from His spiritual children. His love will never be taken away from you if you've trusted Jesus Christ. David said, "It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Wednesday night, we looked at the scripture in Proverbs 17:3 that says, "The fining pot is for silver, the furnace is for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts." He's purifying our faith through the trials that we go through. God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble, so we should fly toward the sun. Amen. Seek the Lord. Trust Him. Believe Him. You can give thanks in everything. I just finished Johnny Erickson Tata's latest book, and in her book, she had an interesting insight on, I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which says, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And she noted that it doesn't say, give thanks for everything. It says, in everything, give thanks. She's been a quadriplegic for over 40 years. The last 2.5 years, she's been suffering from intense and terrible pain. And now she's been diagnosed with cancer. And she said near the end of her book, "I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. I want you to be sure you understand. I am content. God has used all of this in my life, and God, I know, will still use it, and I'm trusting Him." And what a wonderful testimony that woman has for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am content. We should interpret trials as essential. Will you do that right now? How many of here have ever been in a trial? You may be in an intense trial right now. But will you say, "God, I'm going to interpret this in your providence as being essential. And I'm going to give thanks in the midst of this. I won't give thanks necessarily for this, but I'll give thanks in the midst of it. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." God's pleased with faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But we can have faith. Amen? We've got a wonderful book. It's the book of God. It's the Word of God. And we can trust Him through all of our trials. And then a person is known by what he or she does that's often demonstrated in their lives. And so the next portion of this scripture says that Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Bless me indeed." The third thing I think we can learn from Jabez is that we should be craving God's blessing. Crave the blessing of God. Seek the Lord and press hard toward Him and cry unto Him for His blessing. And know that there's nothing more important in life than having the blessing of God, the smile of God in your life, that you could shine before men and your Father could be glorified through your life. He wasn't saying a selfish prayer. "Bless me indeed" was not a selfish prayer. There are numberless instances of the efficacy of prayer in the Bible. Jabez prayed, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, that you would look at my life as being blessed, not necessarily other people, but that you would look at my life as being blessed." You know, the fatted calf thinks he's being blessed. The Hormel pig thinks he's being blessed. He's getting fatted up. And I'm looking forward to that Thanksgiving time again, aren't you? But you know, people oftentimes are not being blessed when they are enjoying health, wealth, and prosperity, and popularity. Those things can be a curse. And oftentimes they are a curse to keep people from the deepest need of their lives being satisfied, because they don't think they need God in those situations. But we always need the Lord. And he said, "Won't you bless me indeed?" In Johnny Erickson's book, she writes about Yitzhak Perlman, who had polio when he was young. And as a grown man, he still walks with crutches and wears braces. and he's become a concert violinist. And when he plays, he walks on the stage. He doesn't have someone carry him, or he doesn't use a wheelchair. He walks on the stage with his crutches and his braces, and it's a laborious process for him to get across the stage to come over to his piano bench and lay down his crutches and unbuckle his braces and get his violin ready and nod to the conductor and then begin his concerts. She writes that one time a staff writer was writing about his concert, and in the midst of the concert, a loud twang was heard by the whole audience, and one of the four strings of his violin broke and flew from the position it was normally in. And he looked at it, and here he has three violin strings, and everybody knows you can't play a violin with three strings. But everything stopped for a minute, and he just looked at it, and then he nodded to the conductor again and started again and played with three strings, and was able to improvise in such a way that it produced beautiful music. And when the final end of the concert came and the crowd stopped their applause, Perlman said these words. He said, quote, "Sometimes it's the artist's task to find out how much music you can still make with what you have left." What do you have left? Whatever you have left, you should give it to Jesus. And it's your task to let the Holy Spirit work through you and improvise in your life and provide beautiful music through you. God's the one who takes broken and wounded and severely disabled instruments and makes unusual music from their lives. Jabez knew that true blessedness is by the grace of God. He knew that true blessedness was for the glory of God. We often use the benediction that God gave to Moses to give to Aaron to bless his people. What's it to be truly blessed? Turn back there to Numbers 6, would you? Just so we can look at it together. Numbers 6, verse 24. If you'll flip back there in your Bibles. God gave this blessing. He says, Moses, here's the way. I want you to tell Aaron the high priest to command a blessing upon the people of God. Here's the words. Here's the exact phraseology that I want you to use. Numbers 6:24. If you look at it with me, he said, here's what you say. Say, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. He who is blessed of the Lord is blessed indeed. That's true blessing. Will you crave the blessing of God? Will you say, I want to have a passion to be blessed of the Lord? I want to please Jesus every day. He's done so much for me. He's loved me with an everlasting love. He's died on the cross. He's paid for my sins. He's given me peace with God, a home in heaven, and purpose in life. And I want to live every day to please Him. Through pain, through suffering, through difficulty, through heartache, through things I don't understand and can't explain, I am going to bless God, and I want to be blessed of Him. Crave the blessing of God. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. What did he pray for? Well, he prayed, enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast. Seek responsibility and influence. Increased responsibility and influence. Do you believe the Lord would consider enlarging your usefulness? Don't you think He would? If you prayed that? Lord, expand my ability to be responsible and influence others for your glory. I think He would do that. When Kathy and I visited my brother and sister and their families in Pennsylvania a couple of weeks ago, we went to church with my brother and sister, and my brother plays the drums and sings, and we had a good time there. And while we were there, their pastor was on vacation, and their guest speaker was a missionary that they support to the Yanomamo people of Venezuela. And Michael Dawson is his name. I got his book. I'm enjoying reading it. And there was a report on his work that he was giving. And he was the son of missionary parents. He was born in the Amazon jungles of Venezuela among the Yanomamo people. And he described his father's prayer while he was there giving his report. He said, you know, my dad prayed in his older years. He died about a year ago, I guess, or a little less. He said, my dad prayed, Lord, I want you to enlarge my coast. And they had a significant ministry to the Yanomamo people. And it was really blessed to the Lord. But that's what he prayed. And shortly after that, an American television evangelist made some harsh criticisms public about Hugo Chavez, the wicked president of Venezuela, who is called our president Satan. You remember him? Well, he made these public statements as a Christian leader. And so as a result of that unwise public thing, which came to the ears of Hugo Chavez, he said, I'm sending out all the missionaries out of Venezuela. And he kicked them all out of Venezuela. But a few stayed, like Dawson, because of the fact that he was born in Venezuela. So he was able to stay there. But some troops were assigned to him to go and harass him. That was their only job, harass the missionary. So these troops would all go to harass the missionary. And the people loved them so much that one day when they were seeking to harass him, all the people gathered around the missionary and they made a big circle so that the troops couldn't get at him. And they said, we love these missionaries. You're not going to harass them. We want you to treat them kindly. And the troops had come to love them as well, because every time they needed something, the missionaries were the ones who would supply it. If they needed transportation, the missionaries would help them. If they needed extra food, the missionaries would help them. And they said, we don't want to hurt the missionaries. We've come to love them too, but we've got to say nasty things to them. So here's the deal. We'll say nasty things, but we really don't mean them. So that's what they began to do. And they had increasingly powerful influence on these troops. And several of them began asking them, what makes you so different? Why do people love you? And they said, it's not us, it's Jesus Christ. He's made a difference in our lives and we're just acting like Christians. That's what makes the difference. And many of these troops, guess what happened? They've gotten saved. So they're enlarging their missionary endeavors through the bad stuff that's happened. Isn't God great? Amen. Isn't the Lord wonderful? How He can work in situations that we would never foresee, never ask for, never want. But the Lord has His way in all of the different situations. One time they said that they were trying to go from where they were to another side of the river. And there was this ferry boat that was going across. And the ferry boat had already left. They didn't have time to get to it. And they were so frustrated because it was going to be another week before they could get another ferry that would take them across the river. And the troops found out about their situation, and they got their bullhorn and they yelled across to the ferry boat, which is about 100 yards away, and they turned the ferry boat around and they made it come back to pick up the missionaries. So they're just in control of everything in Venezuela. So seek increased responsibility and influence. That's truly being blessed. And seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Notice he said that thine hand might be with me. That thine hand might be with me. You know, when the people of Israel were rebelling against the Lord and living in sin and being wicked, God said in Hosea 5:15, you might jot down the reference, Hosea 5:15, he said, I'll go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. I think God, in our affliction in America, in our tornadoes and hurricanes and forest fires and economic difficulty, is saying, pay attention to me, America. Listen to me, America. When floods come and when difficulties come and economic distress comes, I'm trying to get your attention, America. Turn back to me. Seek my face again And if you'll seek my face, then I'll bless you and I'll reveal myself to you again. We should seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit every day. And then seek to live free from sin. He said that thou wouldest keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. Every true Christian is grieved by sin. We can fall into sin. We can slip into sin. We can turn from righteousness to sin. But when we do, it pains us, doesn't it? There are always consequences to sin. So seek to live free from sin. I think Jabez was a good example in that he had a holy distrust in himself. He wasn't going to put himself next to the fire because he knew there was too much kindling left in his own sinful old heart. The old flesh, you know. He was going to keep himself from situations that would be tempting to do that which was evil. Unlike Samson, who was toying with evil all the time. Unlike Lot, who set up his family in an unrighteous community among a lot of perversion and wickedness. Someone said, an old commentator said, shun as you would a deadly disease someone who makes light of sin. The movie Out Contagion talks about a disease that's rampant and so easily contracted and is a death knell for anyone who gets it. And we should look at sin that way. Shun with a strong desire anyone who makes light of sin. Proverbs 14:19 says, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Spurgeon wrote, repentance is to leave the sins we love before and show that we in earnest grieve by doing so no more. Don't blend in with the worldly crowd. You know, everyone looks and acts the same to be different. Don't blend in with the worldly crowd. If you're a teenage guy, don't wear your pants down around your butt. That's just not cool. You know, that all started with prisoners who had loose-fitting clothes and they had their pants kind of drooping down, and so everybody wants to be like a prisoner. I'd rather be like Jesus, amen, and dress in a way that's pleasing to Him. Wear a belt and keep your pants up and, you know, that's just... And don't look at the world and say, you know, what I would do is try to fit in with them. Say instead, what I want to do is fit in with Jesus. I want to be like the Lord and I want to be unique. The Bible calls it a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Stand out so people can say, what makes you different? And you can say, it's Jesus. Jesus makes me different, and I'm not afraid to soar like an eagle. I'm not afraid to stand alone. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ has made a difference in my life, and I'm proud of Him. I'm happy about the difference that He's made. And then expect a reward in the pursuit. Expect a reward in pursuing the Lord like Jabez did. God granted him that which he requested. God's lifted up our church, I believe, in recent days, as we were reminded by Brother Joe in Sunday school. He's given us a heightened level of recognition in the community. So the opportunities that He's given in the midst of these great trials, beginning with the tornado, to help our neighbors and minister to them, give us an increased role in being living proof of a loving God to a watching world. And that's what we're all about. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So let's soar. Amen. Let's interpret our trials as being an expression of God's loving care in our lives. And know that in His providence, He's working all things together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And above all things, let's crave the blessing of God. Let's say, I want to be blessed of God. I want Him to increase my influence. I want Him to increase my responsibility. I want to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I want to be free from sin. I know that I won't be perfectly free until I get to heaven. But my goal is to live down here like I'll live up there. Amen? Amen. Living for heaven in 2011. And then expect a reward. God will bless you. God wants to bless your life, but he wants you to cooperate. And he'll give you all the grace you need. But it starts off with the spiritual birth, receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Would you bow your heads with me? What will you do with what we've looked at in Jabez's life? Will you take it to heart? Doer of the word, not a hearer only. Will that be your life testimony? Will you do the will of God in your life? Lift up Jesus by your life. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So let's lift him up in our lives. Let me ask you today, can you think back in your life and remember a time when you had a spiritual birth? We celebrate our physical birth and we rejoice in another year of God's protection and care and a birthday. But do you have a spiritual birth? Was there a day when you took Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and received him by faith? If there hasn't been a day like that, make today the day. Make today the day that you take Christ as your personal Savior. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.